Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Katera is on this Tuesday, May 11, 2021. Okay, so what's the what are we listening to this week for Andy
Golden.
Rogers?
This from is Golden. Harry Styles Golden.
MLB.com. Harry Styles Golden is the intro song for Andy Rogers.
I like this one.
Is this
was this the Allie recommendation?
No,
Allie, she struck out.
She said she didn't have a suggestion.
Andy, is this a good one or?
This is a good one, guys.
Okay.
Well done.
All right, because you know there's a lot to pick from there.
I'm gonna be honest, Harry Styles starting to grow on me. I was never, you know, I like him. One Direction was that? I was never. That was a little too old for that. But
no, well, my twin daughters,
right.
I have to be exposed to this music, and they were. They excitedly saw One Direction at Arrowhead Stadium.
I remember.
Which,
the same one Annie was at, right?
Very wonderful. I think she said she went
inside.
Inside. So they've been a few times. But either way, when you see them, then that solidifies your fandom, I guess, because the girls really enjoy it.
You're a super fan?
They're good. But I mean, they're good. Like, my point is, they're good in concert, right? They put on a hell of a show.
They do.
Entertainers.
Yeah. Right. You know, Andy, the Royals have not won since we talked to you last week. Do you have any blame in this, or what are we doing here?
They have not. That's correct. I don't know. I don't know if it's my fault or some other people's fault, but it's true. They haven't won since I last came on the show.
They have not. So make a note of that, everyone listening to the show. And so we had some comments from George Brett from yesterday. And he said that he senses that they're pressing, they're trying too hard. He said that he made the comments like some of the guys are up there trying to hit a 3-run home run with the bases empty, and sometimes you could just put too much pressure on yourself, try too hard, and that's just not the way you're successful in baseball. In speaking to Mike Matheny and different players throughout this stretch. Are you sensing frustration? Are you sensing that they're putting more pressure on themselves or pressing? What's the vibe you're getting as you talk to Matheny and talk to players through this 8-game losing streak?
Yeah, I think you can tell there's a sense of urgency. I mean, April was such a high for them, best team in baseball, best record in the American League. They did really well. They were clicking, different aspects of their game were starting to come together. And then, you know, kind of came crashing down. And I think that caused really a sense of urgency. And at any time that you lose 8 games, you want to win so badly, and they do. And Matheny's one of the biggest competitors I've ever met. So I think that, you know, there is some urgency there. And obviously when you're not getting the results that you want, you're going to press a little bit at the plate. I haven't seen too much from the pitching side. I think they're making good pitches, but they've just been facing some good lineups recently. And so I do think that Monday's off day was probably a really good thing for them, just to be able to reset, come back refreshed, go on this road trip to Detroit where they have had success before, and see if they can turn things around.
And let's be honest, if you were going to ask for a certain matchup against a team and with a certain pitcher on the mound to end a losing streak, this would be it. The Detroit Tigers are not very good. The Royals recently got a 4-game sweep against the Tigers. And as we talked about earlier, Brady Singer has sparkling numbers in his 4 starts against Detroit. And so if you were ever going to order up a matchup to end a losing streak, this would be it for the Royals, right?
Yeah, the matchup is there. You know, they're often struggled against Matthew Boyd last time out, and that's who they'll face tonight. But they were able to win that one because of Brady Singer's, he threw 7 innings, one run allowed, just a really good performance from him. So I do think that, you know, you come into Detroit with a little bit of success behind you and, the reset after an off day, try to turn things around there. But I do think, it's the matchup that they want to be able to break this losing streak that they have going on.
The last time we saw Brady Singer, he was stalking off the mound and dropping some colorful language on Angel Hernandez. as that was the game that kind of, to me, in a lot of ways, typified this stretch of the Royals, just frustration boiling over. What do we expect from Singer as he looks to bounce back in this game? Because he seems like, and well, it doesn't seem like it, it's pretty clear that he's a fiery competitor. He's an emotional guy on the mound. How much pressure do you think he'll put on himself to try to be the guy that turns this thing around tonight?
Yeah, he certainly has a competitive drive, and he's not afraid to show it. I think people like seeing that, especially when you have a game like Wednesday, just kind of the frustration and the emotion boiling over. But, you know, he's still young, and so he's got to learn how to kind of contain his emotion on the mound. And I think this is a really good opportunity for him to do that, to come back out and show what he can do. And, you know, even after the game, he was kind of focused on already the next time out and looking forward. So I do think that, you know, he'll go out and he'll put pressure on himself to be the guy to help turn it around. But he also knows that he can only do so much, and he's going to do what he needs to do and kind of let everyone else do their thing as well.
So we've seen Brady Singer, and for the most part, he's been successful since debuting with the Royals last year, and he was among that group of valued Royals pitching prospects. And another guy that is part of that group is Daniel Lynch. He's come up, and things have not gone as well for Daniel Lynch. And so what are your thoughts so far on Lynch and his struggles? Do you think that, I guess the question is, how long of a leash do you think they'll have with Daniel Lynch struggling at the major league level? I know they want to give him a shot to come up here and stick, but that was not good for anyone in his last performance. How about Daniel Lynch and his role moving forward?
Yeah, well, he showed some really good things in his first start. He didn't obviously win that one, and he didn't go very far into that one, but he did show flashes of why he's so highly regarded. The next start, however, he's obviously didn't get out of the first inning. There were some things that I think the Royals pinpointed. Matheny wouldn't say this outright, but you know, they think that he was tipping pitches and had some information on that. So the question is, how quickly can he get that fixed? And if it's going to take longer than what this next turn in the rotation is. Remember, they have a doubleheader coming up on Friday, so they'll have to figure out what the rotation looks like. They've only announced Brady Singer for tonight's game, and they haven't announced the rest of this week's starters. So I do think that, you know, they have some decisions to make what Daniel can do to fix the problem that he showed his last time out, and see if he can fix it quickly. You know, his next turn is coming up on Friday. So they want him to stick. That's why they brought him up. There was an opportunity for him to stay in the rotation for longer than a spot start, longer than, you know, two starts. So they want him to stick. It's just a matter of if he can make those adjustments pretty quickly. And he's a really intelligent guy. He thinks about baseball all the time. He's kind of like Brady Sr. in that aspect. I think all of those pitchers in that 2018 draft really live and breathe baseball and are really intelligent and understand the game. So that's why they think that he can fix it quickly, but we'll see what the rotation looks like this time around here this week.
You mentioned the tipping of the pitches. I had somebody tweet at me during that last outing. It's Stephen Ann Boddicker as well, and they kind of did like an overlay of slider, changeup, curveball, fastball, and that his, you know, delivery on his slider looked like it was a little bit different with his glove hand. And so it's kind of crazy now, isn't it, that just anybody sitting at home can sit there and spot these things and then post it on social media for people to see. But that should theoretically be a relatively easy fix, shouldn't it? I mean, in some ways, you're glad if you're a Royals fan or player that if something went really bad, it's nice to feel like you know the reason why, as opposed to, say, what it's been with Brad Keller so far this year, where it seems like they're still kind of searching for answers.
Absolutely, yeah. You can pinpoint those fixes really quickly, and you can figure out a way to fix them really quickly too. And with Daniel, it wasn't just the slider. It was a lot of different pitches. They were hitting pretty much any pitch he threw. So I think he has a lot of information to take in and fix those problems, but you can do that. You know, people have done that before. With Brad Keller, it's interesting because you hear from the Royals just about his bullpens and what his side sessions look like, and his mechanics are good, and they come away really confident in him and what he's throwing. And so, and then you have it doesn't translate over to the game. So that can be a little bit more frustrating. But I do think he showed some significant improvement the last time out. I think the Royals are even more confident in him, and so is he, too, even though they lost that game. He did what he really needed to do to help turn his season around.
We've got Andy Rogers from MLB.com on the show. Let's talk about the injured players who could come back hopefully soon and to help the Royals turn things around. Obviously, Mondesi, but two important members of the bullpen, Jesse Hahn and Kyle Zimmer. What's the latest info that you have on those three injured players?
Yeah, both through bullpens this weekend, so we'll find out more today on what that looked like and what their next steps are. But the Royals were hopeful to at least send Hahn out to a rehab assignment fairly soon. And that's really good news for them. I think with this 8-game losing streak, you can point to a lot of different things, from the offense to the pitching. But a big part of it has been the bullpen. And, they've had such high expectations that when they stumble a little bit, all of the focus goes on them. And then you realize that you don't have two of their highest leverage relievers in the bullpen with Hahn and Zimmer. I know Zimmer is kind of an under-the-radar guy, but he had built up the trust of the coaching staff to become that, higher leverage, getting up to where Hahn and Stalmont and Barlow are too in the bullpen as far as that makeup. So I think that's been a big part of the stumbles this week. Within the losing streak, there's been some underlying things, and the Royals are really missing Jesse Hahn and Kyle Zimmer. So hopefully they're able to come back. They're going to take their time just because they want them to be as healthy as possible, but it's positive progression for them. It's just going to take a little bit more time, and some other guys are going to have to step up and fill that void.
So a little more on that. If you could also update us on Adalberto Mondesi and what his rehab situation is like right now. But those two pitchers you mentioned in the bullpen, do we have any idea how close they will be to, and are they going to have to go out on minor league assignments? What do we expect from them when it comes to returning to play?
I would expect both of them to go on minor league rehab assignments just because they haven't thrown in a while. Jesse Hahn, for sure. Kyle Zimmer, more than likely. They haven't thrown to hitters in a while, so the Royals will want them to skip that back up to speed before they come back and face major league hitters. So last week, Dayton Moore said that they were hopeful that Jesse Hahn could go out this week while the Royals are on this road trip for him to go out on a rehab assignment. I don't know if that's the case, like if he's going out right now today, but we'll have more of an update today with Matheny after the off day yesterday, being able to kind of reset for them. And then with Mondesi, I think he's gone out to Arizona for the extended spring training there, starting to get more at-bats there. That's positive progress for him. Like I said earlier, the Royals are taking it really slow. They don't want to push him back and have something else happen. When they get him back, they want him to stay back. So he's going out to Arizona, getting some at-bats in, and from there he'll go on to the rehab assignments with the minor leagues and kind of take it from there.
Andy Rogers has been our guest, and kind of circling back to where we started about the Royals and if there's any frustration. You had a couple of quotes in your story from Mike Matheny, and he used the word embarrassing. He said that we're not happy and it's embarrassing when we don't play the kind of baseball that we know we can play. And that's, you get swept in seven games against division rivals at home. It's gonna feel embarrassing, but that's still a strong word for a manager to use. And so again, the importance of turning things around against Detroit, a team that they should beat and should be able to build up some wins against, because the White Sox, for whatever reason, they can't beat the White Sox at all, hardly, the last couple of years. And so for Mike Matheny and the Royals to get things right, they need to take advantage of playing the Detroit Tigers, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You have to take advantage of the teams that are under 500. And look, like I was saying earlier, they were riding such a high in April. And, you know, people were questioning, are the Royals for real and all of that. And as much as Matheny and the players say that they block out that noise, you hear that. And so then to go on an eight-game losing streak and go winless on a seven-game homestand, you know, that is, you know, it's a blow. It feels like a punch in the gut for them. So they need to turn it around. They know that. Those guys are more competitive than anyone, you know, than I am or anyone listening. So I think that, you know, they're well aware of what they need to do, and they're well aware of the opportunity that they have, and they're well aware that the test doesn't stop. You know, they need to take advantage of Detroit, and then they go right to Chicago and play the White Sox again for four games with that doubleheader Friday. So the test doesn't stop, but it is a good opportunity for them to show that they do have the resolve and they can handle that adversity, turn things around after what happened last week.
And Andy, before we let you go, so you spent several more weeks since we talked about this in Kansas City. How are you getting acclimated to the city? Are you locked in now on your routes to Kauffman Stadium and getting around the city? How have you enjoyed your first several weeks as a resident of Kansas City?
Yeah, I love it. Definitely getting to know it more. Can get to the grocery store now without my Google Maps, so that's exciting.
All right.
But yeah, I got to welcome my family in this weekend for the first time since moving here. First time I've seen them in a while. They came and visited, and we went to the Nelson, walked around the outdoor sculpture garden, which was really cool. My dad's a landscape architect, so he loved that part. And then got to take my sister shopping on the plaza, which she loved that because she's 16 and
oh boy,
she's all about all of the fashion trends, and I'm just trying to keep up with her. So it was really fun. You know, took him to Q39, of course. Got to get the barbecue in, and then my boyfriend and I have tried a ton of the different barbecue places too. So I've really enjoyed it, getting to know everything, and all the restaurants and all the cool places to see. It's been really fun so far, and can't wait to enjoy the summer here too.
You know, Jake was nodding his approval. He's often said that in his life, that the best place, the top place to take someone on a first date is the Nelson Art Gallery.
100%.
And so he gives a stamp of approval of taking your family to the Nelson Art Gallery. And everyone,
gym.
Right, and everyone loved it, right? It was a good outing for the family, huh?
It was great, yeah. My dad, of course, loved it the most, but everyone really enjoyed it. And they have this cool little mini golf section now where you can, like, that was really cool. I wish I knew about that before. But now that we know, I'm going to take some friends there when I can get another day off.
Book it ahead of time. You gotta get online and book that thing up.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, the weather looks not great in Kansas City for the next week. But hopefully, once it turns pretty nice, we can start to do that.
So now that he's enjoying the amenities in Kansas City, has your dad agreed to be a Chiefs fan? Has he been converted? Is he going to join Chiefs Kingdom now?
Agent, right?
Like, how do we have to get him on the show to make this happen? Like, what do we have to do?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. That's going to be a tall task.
Well, we'll try though. We can keep trying. That's all, you know. That's all we can do. That's nothing else that we can, you know.
Yeah.
We can make it happen. All right, hey, Andy. Thank you so much for the time. I'm glad that you could find your way to the grocery store because I cannot, and I've been living here my entire life, and so there's still some issues for me, but that's fine. Andy, we'll talk to you, and guess what? I'm going to make this bold prediction. When we talk to you next week, the Royals will have won a game.
All
since
right.
Our last conversation,
let's
so
go.
We're going to make that happen, Andy. So thank you.
If they haven't, we've got bigger problems.
Right. Yeah, I think I'll probably be calling in and having Nate do the show by himself if we get to a 14-game losing streak. All right, Andy, we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys. Thanks.
This is a good opportunity to mention, Jake, you used to like barbecue until you...
I still like barbecue.
I went on my second ever date with my wife to the Nelson Art
you
Gallery.
You throw like a $10 spot in the donation, you know, and you look like, hey, I'm a charitable guy. It doesn't cost a dime to get in there.
But...
it's a free date.
You said you still like barbecue, but you don't eat meat anymore.
I mean, I still have plenty of. I mean, there's places that serve delicious barbecue salmon. shrimp.
Okay, well,
I mean,
pescatarian.
I'm pesky. I'm pescatarian.
Right. So you're a Presbyterian.
Really eating barbecue, though. Like, if you go to a Kansas City barbecue joint and you're eating fish.
He's asking a rhetorical question. I don't think you needed to say that. He's saying, is it really eating barbecue?
Yeah.
You excitedly said there's salmon, there's shrimp. There's Nate said
cheesy
that's
corn,
not really barbecue.
Onion rings, fries. Fried okra.
Well, you decide you're delicious.
But
you don't think he's eating
fried
barbecue.
Mushrooms?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with eating salmon at a good barbecue place. That's fine, but I don't feel like that really is like eating Kansas City barbecue.
Guess what? Didn't really ask your opinion.
Are you ever going to eat barbecue? Are you ever going to eat barbecue again? Like meat, real barbecue.
Like some brisket or some ribs?
Some
or
ribs.
I don't know.
Will you be like Romeo Cornell where you say some ribs, some hams,
Steven,
will you or not?
I take my life one day at a time, and today, I'm not eating ribs.
It's day by day.
It's, you know, I'm...
All right.
Yeah.
So this is why I bring up barbecue.
All right.
And right now, we must offer a tremendous amount of respect to... A young man that I know a lot of people wanted the Chiefs to draft, but they didn't. But he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm speaking of Jabril Cox, the terrific linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I hope he does very, very well
Dallas. I think he will.
And so Dallas Cowboys Twitter account tweeted yesterday, because there was a couple of the rookies that tweeted, Dallas, what's up with that barbecue, though?
And some ribs.
Another rookie said, I land in Dallas on Wednesday, Cowboys Nation. Any good barbecue recommendations? And so then the Cowboys official account retweeted those and said, Cowboys Nation, can y'all, because it's in Texas, can y'all help our rookies out? Where should they get some Texas barbecue at? And Jabril Cox took it upon himself to retweet the Dallas Cowboys official account and offer this message. Sorry, Dallas, but Kansas City has the best barbecue.
Right.
A couple of, describe the emojis. What are those emojis you use there? The
eyeballs and then smiling with a tear.
Right.
On the
some hams.
And he didn't look. He could
That's a bold move.
He could have just set that one
that's
out.
That's a bold move.
He could have said, hey, I'm a Kansas City guy.
But man.
I said represent.
Ballsy.
Exactly. So he could have set that one out because he wasn't retweeted. He didn't have to say anything.
If you feel the way you feel, you let it out, man.
He just could have said, I'm just gonna let this one go.
You just told me that you didn't ask for my opinion when I let my opinion out like 30 seconds ago.
For Jabril Cox, he wants to hear him.
Oh,
he doesn't want to hear him. And so, you know, he could just say, like, hey.
I'm not the Dallas Cowboys Twitter.
I'm a Raytown South guy. I'm a Kansas City guy. I'm just going to let this one go. But no, he's not worried about kissing up to Cowboys Nation,
right?
And he's just giving fact. He's just letting you know what it is.
I mean,
and he retweets the Cowboys
like, hey,
account.
Convince me.
And he said, "Sorry, Dallas, Kansas." No, he didn't say convince me.
No,
he's
I'm
telling you. He said Kansas City has the best barbecue, and it doesn't matter about barbecue because when I come in here and start tackling fools left and right, you'll appreciate me as a linebacker
true
for
that.
What I do on the field. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to cave in to this Texas barbecue. You're not going to get me to turn my back on Raytown South. You're not going to get me to turn my back on Kansas City. So, gigantic props out to Jabril Cox for representing when he didn't have to.
He smacked those Cowboys fans in the mouth with some reality, just like he's going to smack those running backs in the mouth when they try to run the
ball.
He
didn't have to do it, but that's representing.
Maybe he did have to do it.
Some hometown pride right there.
I like it.
I'm rooting for that kid.
It's the
I like
truth,
it a
man.
Lot.
I've been down to Dallas. Their barbecue's fine, but it's not Kansas City barbecue.
Nah.
Now, I'll say this. Houston barbecue is the most garbage crap I've ever had in my life. It's terrible.
What did you just say?
Houston barbecue is the worst.
Mm. What's specifically why
it's
Houston
because
barbecue?
Because their barbecue sauce tastes like spaghetti sauce.
Right. Wow.
It's like let's pour some spaghetti sauce all over the top of some ribs and call it barbecue.
There you
it's
go.
Really terrible.
That doesn't
tomato based, huh?
It's just terrible. But Dallas barbecue is okay. It is okay. It's just not Kansas City.
It's not even second best, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Memphis is
better.
Yeah. I mean, Memphis is only,
I'd say Carolina might be better.
Meh.
I like the slaw in the sandwich.
I had a good meal at Rendezvous at Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis is, I mean, they have Neely's is pretty, the interstate.
None of them are as good as Kansas City.
No. But I'm like, like Dallas, you're not even in the conversation.
Like, well, Jabril Cox pretty much told them they're not in the conversation, so they, you know.
Yep. He let them know.
That's all.
Sometimes you got to let them know.
Look, and he went to the NFCs. You feel free to root for Jabril Cox.
Yeah.
And just know that he's got Kansas City.
Stan Weber's.
I love barbecue.
You know, Junior C, if he did, he liked barbecue, but then was also placing a spit hook. That's not a joke.
Barbecue. I love barbecue.
Yeah, that really happened.
So that's not, I don't have any idea why you would play.
I'll tell you what, our younger audience doesn't know anything about that, do they? That was like 20 years ago, wasn't it?
They don't need to, do they?
Barbecue. I love barbecue.
Do they need to know anything about
They're probably saying, who's Junior C of you?
He was. So during the Dick Vermeil era, they kept drafting defensive linemen over and over and over again.
And none of them turned out to be any good.
You win the game in the trenches.
Yeah, but if you keep drafting bad defensive linemen over and over again, you don't win the game in the trenches. Then you lose in the playoffs because you can't force a punt.
All right.
Junior C of E was one of those several defensive linemen that they took.
He loved barbecue, though. He actually went and played for Dallas after.
He got arrested and was spitting at the police officers.
I didn't know, I'd never heard of a spit hood before at that point.
I didn't know that was a thing. Like, you know, people spit at cops when they're getting arrested, and then they put a spit hood over them. Apparently, so that was when I learned.
Again, Jake got in trouble for owning a movie called Spit Hood, which was a different... That was a VHS.
He owned a lot of movies.
Right, I did. The video library.
Right. Video library.
Exactly. Well,
be kind, rewind.
Break on that note. Back after this on WHB.